Hot down range, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Mine's a little different than yours. I don't have safety on mine. Mine's more of the Glock manner. You got to keep your finger off the trigger. Every once in a while, I get a little trigger happy. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to Ezekiel 47. It sure is good to be here.
Amen.
Heard some great things already. Brother Walker, Dr. Walker. Believe me, I don't mean any disrespect when I say brother. I'm having to train myself to call him doctor. And let me tell you something. He gave you some great things in Sunday school.
Amen.
And I'm his friend. And I've been able to stay with him this week, you know. My IQ has went up 10 points just by being around him. I mean, I like being around these guys. I feel smarter. All right, Ezekiel 47, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Now, I've got me a Ruckman reference Bible. I'm not saying you got to have one to be spiritual. But now mine says that the heading is the Millennial River of Life. So see, I know what it is before I get started. See, I feel smarter already. He says, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000 and it was a river. Notice it says it is a river. And he says that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Now, boy, we could take time right there, and that'd be a great sermon right there.
Amen.
And he says, and there shall be very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. I'm going to ask my good friend, probably best friend I ever had in my entire life, Dr. David Walker, to open this word of prayer, please. Amen. That's right. That's right.
The power of the Holy Spirit may bring conviction, exhortation, reproof, encouragement, whatever is needed for each and every heart today. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us this book. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. And we ask that you might magnify and manifest yourself and help, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to read you something that Adrian Rogers said. He said, I believe the Lord is speaking to the thirsty. But even Christians who know they're empty may not be genuinely thirsty. Now you see, sometimes we just don't realize we come to church and we sit in church and we try to get something to fill our souls. And sometimes we don't realize that that filling may not be because we're genuinely thirsty. On the way down here, my car got empty. I had to put gas in it, but I don't think my car was thirsty. I believe it was just empty. And sometimes there's a lot of Christians, they get empty, they go looking for something, they have no idea what they're looking for, they just want to get filled up. And let me tell you, there's a great danger in that. You can get filled up with the wrong thing real quick. So now when you get thirsty, you got to be very careful what you're looking for. Amen? Now you and I believe the stories of the Bible, and I believe John chapter 4, and I believe there was a woman come to that well, and I believe Jesus Christ was sitting on that well that day, and I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah.
I don't care what the Greek scholars say about it. I think that Jesus was there for a reason to help that woman out. And when He said, I will give you a drink, and if you take this drink, you'll never thirst again, I don't believe it had anything to do with that well of Jacob that she was in right there, about to dip into. You know what she came with? She came with a pot, a water pot on her shoulder trying to get that thing filled up. And here she comes with that water pot trying to get it filled up. And you know there's a lot of people, they come with their water pots.
Come on, brother.
And they're carrying those things around. They got them shined up and they're waxed up and they're toting them around and they're showing off their water pot and saying, hey, look at my pot. Let me tell you something, the pot ain't the important thing.
Come on.
If you'll notice the story, whenever she got finished there and the Lord told her everything that ever she had ever done. Man, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? You won't get possible to take everything you ever done. But now notice what the woman did when she got finished. She put the pot down. You know what we do? We carry the pot around and show everybody we are so full. There's a lot of you, you're empty. And you ain't thirsty. You're going to have to grow a little bit. You need to get a little bit thirsty. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some of you, you're scholars, I realize. You're sitting here this morning, you're saying, Brother Mike, this is a river. Ain't nobody drinking. Now, give me a minute. I'll get around to where I'm going, okay? I realize there's nobody drinking in this passage, but I'm trying to give you a little bit of an analogy. Listen, one time me and my brother, a few years ago, before my grandmother died, we went to visit with her. She was in the nursing home, and I loved my little grandmother. She was about 4 foot tall, you know, and she was, you know, she was about that wide too, and I can say that you can't. And so I called her Mama all her life, you know, never called her anything else. And I went up to her, and she was sitting in that wheelchair, you know, and she kind of had her head leaned to the side, and she, you know, she's just sitting there, and me and my brother, we was kind of aggravating her a little bit, and I told her, I said, Mama, why don't you whistle for us a little bit? And she that thing just ain't working, is it, brother? And so she leaned her head like this, you know, and she puckered her. This is ruining my illustration. You are not at the funeral home. You're not helping me with my grandmother. Amen. I don't even know what to do with this. It looks like the head has done fell off of it. I don't know what to do with it. I'm on the side here, and Mamaw's about to try to whistle, you know, and she can't do it. And I said, Mamaw, I said, my word, I said, come on now, you can do it. I said, come on. She said, I can't, my mouth's dry.
Yeah.
I told my brother, I said, why don't you get her a little drink of water? Maybe get her a little drink of water, you know. You need a water
spoon.
You're dry, just like Jim Lynch came down here one time and he was preaching on breathe. And he got up here and he said, Lord, can these bones live? Oh, Lord, down, Lord.
Yeah.
You know what he said? He said, some of you are very dry.
Right.
And that's the truth today. Some of us gotten to the place that where that we are so doctrinally correct. And we are so studied up.
Come on.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But if we get to the place to where that we're putting too much in here and not nearly enough in here, then we're what we call off balance.
Right.
And when you get off balance, it doesn't matter if it has to do with knowledge or doctrine, there's something wrong. We need to have some old-timey, old-fashioned just preaching.
Amen.
And praying.
Amen.
Begging God to do something.
Amen.
Nobody seems to be interested in that anymore, though. Everybody's so sophisticated now. Everybody's so uppity. And you know, we've got a religious idea of what we ought to be doing. I'm telling you what, our hearts ought to be affected when we open the Word of God.
Yeah.
Our hearts ought to be affected when we read the Word of God. I'm telling you, it ought to make us fall in love with Jesus just a little bit more.
Amen.
And I mean, when they sing up here, I was sitting back there leaking like I usually do, and it ought to affect you in some way if you're saved. And if it don't, then bless God, don't get retreaded. Then maybe you ought to check up on something.
Amen.
I ain't got it up in the high hum yet, but I may, and before we get done. Amen. Now, if you're sitting here today and you're full, well, we've had something this weekend.
Amen.
And if you're sitting here today and you're full and you're full up and everything feeling real good, you know, we had a good foundational, just instruction from everybody. And I mean to tell you, it's been from guys who are not in the ministry per se.
Amen.
But boy, they've given some good things.
Yeah.
I remember one time my granddaddy asked me, he said, son, he had this culvert he'd put across the driveway going up to his house, and he had a trailer. And so he had this culvert put across, so we'd cross over the creek to get up there because the old one kind of fell in. And he put it up there, and he said, son, he said, I need a block wall whenever that creek gets up so we can direct that water under that culvert. He said, can you help me with that? I said, sure, Papa, no problem. And he said, can you lay block? And I said, sure. I've never laid block a day in my life, but I've seen my uncle do it for years, you know. So that evening, I got over there, you know, my granddad, he had already poured the foundation, and he got it real solid and secure, you know, and he said, okay, boy, go do it. So I got out there, and I tried to do what my uncles did, you know, and I laid that wall, you know, and I looked back at it. I didn't realize, they would use levels and streams. I mean, man, when they got done, it's great. They could take one of those little nails, you know, and they could pull it across it. They could take that, you know, the concrete, you know, the extra concrete, and they could peel it across. Man, it just looked like a line. Well, when I got done, I tried to. My nail would not go across. I'd get from one block to the other, you know, it's up and down like this, you know. Me and my wife, we went by there the other day. I mean, it's been probably 2 months, it might have been 2 years ago, because now at my age, you know, time really goes by. So we went by there one day, you know, and I was looking at that wall, and I said, man, that thing's still standing. I did great work. And it was as crooked as a dog. I mean, everything was crooked. It was all out of whack. I got to thinking, it's not because of what I did. It's because of what my papa did.
Yeah.
He laid a good foundation.
Amen.
And I just got to happen to build on that foundation.
Amen.
You see, Jesus Christ is our foundation.
Amen.
And if by chance we get to build a little something, it's only because He laid the foundation. He is the foundation. He is the starting point. And without Him, bless God, we'd be nothing. And whatever we built without Him would be a futile effort.
Yes.
See, we need Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's look a little bit. I can get carried away, man. I like the spirit in here. It feels good.
Amen.
It feels real good. Let's look down at verse 1. I don't know who brought this water, but God bless you. I get dry. And everybody watched me take a drink. It says, afterward He brought me again in the door of the house. Behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. I want you to notice Ezekiel's vision. Now, see, you and I, we need to have a proper vision. If you could, turn with me back over to Isaiah chapter 6. Now, I don't go back and forth in the Bible, but I want to read one little thing out of Isaiah chapter 6 that hopefully will help us out this morning. Now, I want you to notice down in verse 3, it says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me.
Amen.
He says, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips.
For mine eyes have seen the King. Look at this. The Lord of hosts. Now let me tell you something. You and I, we need to have a proper vision.
Yeah.
Not only of God, we need to have a proper vision of ourselves.
Amen.
We need to realize that we are not outside of the problem, but we are, honest to God, part of the problem.
Yeah.
I like the Old Testament when those Old Testament prophets include themselves in those prayers, and they're not setting themselves above anybody. They're saying, hey, we have sinned.
Yes.
Not they.
Right.
You see, as preachers, sometimes we get to the place where we say, they have sinned.
Come on, brother.
No, it's not just they. It's we have sinned. You see, for all have sinned. Oh, except for the preachers. No, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We can't get to the place where we preach above the people. If we do, we lose them. Got to get to the place where we give them their proper order and make sure that when we say that we're the pastors, the preachers, doctors, what we are is we're just another vessel. That's all there is. God just gave me a big mouth. That's all there is to it. Some of you just kind of quiet. If you had a big mouth, you could do the same thing I'm doing. Amen? As long as God calls you to do that.
Amen.
Now let's look down here, if you would. I want you to notice in verse 47, chapter 47, verse 1, back in Ezekiel. I want you to notice that there is a mysterious source, and it's a humble source. It's under the threshold. That's where that river of life is coming out from. Now look, I realize this is not John chapter 3, and I'm not going to try to tie it into John chapter 3 because it don't fit there. Okay? And I realize where I'm at. I realize I'm with Ezekiel, and I realize the doctrinal application has to do with the millennial whenever they're offering sacrifices. Again, it looks to me like back in the previous chapter in 46, at the end of it, that there's some sacrifices being offered. Now, I don't have all the answers about that. I can't figure the whole thing out, so I ain't going to preach about that. I just want you to think I'm smart. So I'm telling you what I think's going on there. Amen? Now, after a while, I can get straightened out. That's okay with me. That don't bother me at all. I don't care. Because I realize my IQ ain't up there. I remember when we were in Bible school, we were in PBI, and we had to take an IQ test. I was thrilled to death when I got mine back. I thought I was going to be in the single digits. I had 3 digits on mine. I was tickled. And it wasn't 99.5. That was not the 3 digits. That was 120. I thought, man, I'm genius. I'm up here with the smart boys, you know. I'm up here with the intelligent people, you know. I am learning some things. You know what I have learned at that point? I have learned that there has to be some humility connected with the things that you're doing with God.
Right? Yeah.
You see, it's not just, let's get in front of everybody and pray. I'm telling you what, sometimes there's got to be some humility. And you know what? You don't just wake up one morning and you say, I'm going to be humble. I mean, today's the day I'm going to be humble. If you do that, then you're proud. I mean, it is a process of God working on you and in you.
Amen.
And that's what gets you to the place where you're humble. And God does things to you and takes things from you and works on you and moves on you. And there's some humility. It's a humble source, I'm telling you. It's not just a humble source, but you think about what Jesus Christ did when He came to this earth down here. He humbled Himself to come down here for you and I.
He did.
Much more than what you and I might do for other people. I ought to get an amen on that. It's a holy source. It's past the altar. It's a heated source. It's facing the east. Let me tell you something. Our Holy Bible and our Holy Spirit are the only two holy things in this earth.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. That Bible right there, that is some kind of book.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you what. That thing has changed my life.
Yeah.
I can't read through the thing without seeing myself in it.
Yeah.
You seen Brother Mike, you're that good? No, I'm that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll read it and I'll see myself in the pages. And I think, you know, I don't like reading King Saul. Because I have so many characteristics of King Saul. Oh, and it just drives me crazy. I wish I'd get past some of that stuff, you know, but it seems like it's in my nature for some reason. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some of you, I want to ask you again, are you thirsty?
Amen.
You see, as we go through this, I want you to remember that there needs to be a genuine thirst. And I believe there's a lot of Christians that are looking for a sweet, sugary substitute to what the Bible will give you that will fill that thirst to where that you will never be thirsty again. And listen, when you get thirsty for God, after you take that drink, let me tell you something. It's something that can be filled up by what the Bible says. It can be filled up by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
I'm thankful for what God's done for me. I'm glad that He's brought me the way that He has. I want you to notice it is a powerful source. Now, I'm from the mountains, you know, and I've been to the top of the headwaters up there, and I've seen where rivers start and creeks start. And as they go down the mountain, they get bigger. Okay, now you think about it, man. How do they get bigger?
Come on
now. Does anybody know? Feeder streams.
Right.
Got a little feeder stream over here, a little feeder stream over here. They go down the mountain. The river begins to get wider and deeper as you go down the mountain. Do you know that there's no feeder streams in this one right here? Comes out and it just gets more, deeper, wider, bigger, fuller. Now let me use this as an example. You don't need things from the outside coming into the church to make you more powerful.
Amen.
You don't need things from the world mixing in with God to make it more powerful.
Amen.
I'm kind of old-fashioned. I like old-fashioned singing. Amen, that's right. I like old-fashioned preaching.
Amen.
So I like old-fashioned confession to God.
Amen.
To God. Let me say that one more time.
Yes,
to God.
Amen.
And I've been in churches before, you know, one get up and they confess, and one next can get up and confess, and before you know it, you got a feud on your hands, you know. There's some things that just need to be kept between you and God.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not a priest, I'm a preacher. I don't want to know all that stuff, you know. And let me tell you something. Look down at verse 8 with me, if you would. I want you to know something. There's some great things about this water right here, this river. It can heal. Everywhere it went, it made change. It could heal some things. I'm just giving you an introduction. I ain't even started yet. I want you to notice the verse 9. It could revive. Bring life. And look, that Bible right there, it has given me, and I know it's given you, new life.
Amen.
It's helped us, encouraged us, and shown us how to do things the right way. Amen. It could bring forth fruit and refreshment in verse 9 again. Now that's Ezekiel's vision. And God gave him the vision. Then I want you to know what God did with Ezekiel then. He took him on a venture. And you and I, if we're in the Christian walk, we're going somewhere with God. And He takes us somewhere. Now this is really the heart of my message, the meat of my message, what I'm trying to get across to you. I want you to notice down, if you would, verse 3 with me. He says, "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles." Okay, now, for a long time, I thought this was an ocean. You know, I kind of like the ocean. You know, and the reason I thought it was an ocean is because I was imagining as the waves rolled in, you know, up here on the shore, you know, it's kind of ankle deep. And the further you get out, you know, the deeper it gets. It's not an ocean, it's a river. So instead of going this way and keep going further, they keep crossing. It kind of looks like to me they're crossing back and forth across the river, and it gets deeper, you know, as they go down, perhaps. Okay, so now, here we've got some ankle-deep Christians. You see, the waters are coming in. And, you know, maybe you're up here on the side, and you're kind of looking, and you see the water coming in, and you're thinking to yourself, "I'd really like to get in that water, but I'm a little bit hesitant."
Amen.
We've heard some of those things this week, you know. We've heard some people say some things like that. Making tough decisions, you know, don't really know what to do. And they don't know whether to get in or not. They're kind of watching everybody. And they see some other people in, and just a few minutes, you know, they'll put their toe in, you know, and bring it back out. They'll put their toe in, bring it back out. You know, well, that water's not too bad. Cold, it's okay, you know. I mean, we've dipped our, you know, toes in the water out there at the ocean a couple times this week, you know. Not very many times, you know. You say, "Brother Mike, what did you have on?" I had on my 3-piece suit. My vest, my tie, my waterproof shoes, and my waterproof Bible. You know, I didn't want you to think I was going in there any other way. So now I went out there and I looked around, you know, and there's some people out there and they're doing this, you know, and they didn't know whether to get in or stay out. Boy, there's a lot of people in church like that. They don't know whether to get in or stay out. And half of them, they're in, they're out, and they don't know what to do. And you say, "It's because I've been hurt so many times." Well, you know, that may be a legitimate excuse somewhere, but somewhere along the line, you're going to have to let go of that past. You might have to put yourself out there a little bit and take a chance that God might be able to put you somewhere that can help you out.
Here you are, you stand up here, and you're, oh, boy, I want to get, I remember one time we went to Savannah, Georgia when I was a kid. I grew up in a religious home, not a Christian home. Does anybody know the difference? My granddad was a Free Will Baptist preacher, and he had 10,000 rules that we had to keep. We went to Savannah, Georgia, and my dad, he went down there, and my dad was just, he never wore shorts, he never did stuff like that. It was just not something he did. So we went to Savannah, and we went out there, and my uncles, they wanted to take us out the ocean. First time I'd ever been, I was a young man. We went out there, and my dad was standing on the side, and he was watching us. You know, we was kind of out there playing around the water, you know. My dad said, "Don't you get too far, boy. You come back now. Don't you get too far." I said, "Daddy, come on. Come on, Dad." He said, I can't, son. He said, I can't. I didn't bring nothing to it. He said, "I just can't do it." He had on black wingtip shoes, black socks, blue jean pants, a white T-shirt, and his cigarette rolled up in his sleeve. That was my dad.
Yeah.
And I was out there, and I was like, "Dad, come on. Come on, come on, Dad, come on, please, will you come on? I want you to play with me, Dad, please, come on." "No, son, I just can't do it." Boy, he'd get a little closer to the water, you know, and he'd feel the spray. He said, "Boy, I wish I could. I wish I could. I'd sure like to get in that water." He never did this. I remember when I was in Bible school, I went to talk to my dad and ask him. I said, "Dad, are you saved?" He said, "Son, that's something between me and Jesus. Me and the Lord, that's what he said." I said, "Dad," I said, "you know, I'm not trying to be mean." I said, I would really like to know if you're saved." He said, "Son, that's private. We just don't talk about that."
Yeah.
And I wasn't trying to be, he's my dad. I wasn't trying to be rude. He said, I said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." He said, "Son, this is private. We just don't talk about that." Never did that.
Amen.
Today, I mean, I told you, I grew up in a really religious home. I'm not sure that my dad was saved. That bothers me. You say, "Brother Mike, you said your granddad's a Free Will Baptist preacher." Yeah. It's all rules, man.
Yeah.
It was do this, do that, change this, wear this, don't wear that, don't go here, do this, please don't be around me. It was a bunch of rules.
Right.
My dad, I never saw him do that. Sad day for me, I'm telling you, his funeral.
Amen.
I was confused, didn't know how to handle it. Now, at my daughter's funeral, I wasn't confused. Oh, I saw that girl get saved. I know where she is. Me and my wife, we have this newfound idea about the rapture. We just assume it happened today. I mean, we just don't go on the glory.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to go out Volkswagen style. I mean, I want to go Cadillac style. But I just soon go on up there. You know? And you say, "You can't wait to see your daughter." No, I can't wait to see my Savior, but I get to see my daughter as well. They say, "Are you a waiter?" I didn't say W-A-I-T-E-R. I said W-A-D-D-E-R.
Come on.
Are you a waiter? You're looking out here and you're seeing all these other people do all these things around the church, and you hadn't quite got involved yet. Wouldn't you like to go just a little bit further?
Amen.
Come on.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good. It ain't up there sometimes, you know, like a lot of messages are, and it ain't real deep. Yeah, we're getting there.
Amen.
But I'm telling you what, it's needed to help Christians so that they'll learn to go a little bit further.
Amen.
And take a chance on God, because He's worth taking a chance on.
Amen.
Look, let me tell you something. I remember one time there was a fellow who was talking to me about living by faith. And I said to myself, "Okay, well, have you ever lived by faith?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I live by faith." He said, "One time, he said, I had to give up coffee." He was living in a home, I'm telling you what, it was a very nice home, and I'm not mad he got a nice home. That's great. That's a blessing as far as I'm concerned. He's living in a nice home, driving two nice vehicles, you know, and he was telling me, he said, "Sometimes, brother, you just gotta live by faith." I was driving a car that was about to fall apart. Every time I got on it, it was by faith. I mean, I turned the key, it was by faith. I got to my destination. That was the grace of God. I mean, I understood some of that stuff. Don't talk to me about living by faith if you ain't never done it. Amen.
Amen.
I remember one time we went with Brother Walker. We went up the mountains up there. Dr. Walker, I apologize. I'm trying. We got up the mountains up there and we took the kids whitewater rafting, you know. And there's several, you know, churches came up. I'm not sure Brother Magdalene brought the kids up from here. I can't remember all the kids that came. But anyway, we went out whitewater rafting. We was going down through there, and one of the things they told us, they said, "Don't get out of the boat."
And what does Dr. Walker do? He gets out of the boat. So I look up. He's out of our boat. And I look up, and here he is standing on a pile of rocks going, "Hey, help me!" And I said, "Just come on, swim to us. We'll get you." He said, "The water's too cold." And he said, "Come back and get us." I said, "We can't. You don't paddle upstream of those rivers." He was up there. Finally, he drops in the water. We catch him, put him in the boat, you know. Some of you just hanging on the edge, you know, saying, "I'm just not, it's too cold, it's too deep, it's too warm, it's too.
Amen.
I want you to get in.
Amen.
I'm just saying the ankles. Ain't no sense dumping in deep in yet. My uncle taught me to swim. We went to the lake. He took my life jacket off. We was on a pontoon. I said, "Man, I'd like to learn how to swim." And you talk about doing some frailing in the water. I was doing some frailing. It was bad, man. Great uncle. Yeah, great uncle. Don't do your kids that way either, by the way. Look down at verse 4. He says, "Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters." The waters were to the what? Help me now, church.
Indeed.
Well, it looks to me like he done got offshore a little bit further, didn't he? He's out there, he's not ankle deep anymore, and there's nothing wrong with ankle deep Christians. If you've just started out and you've just started learning the Bible, don't worry about those that are out in the deep.
Amen.
Stay right where you're comfortable for a while, and you're learning how to do some things. But now these folks are out there knee deep. Now, have you ever been knee deep in the water?
Amen.
Now, you know, here at knee deep, I'm a little further from shore. Okay? I'm not up there anymore. I'm out here. Now, let me tell you something. If the waves get too bad, I can sure run back, though.
Right.
And it don't take much effort. Knee-deep water, it don't take much effort to get out of.
Right.
You see, you're going a little deeper. Maybe your prayer life is a little better now.
Amen.
Maybe you're beginning to get something out of the Bible when you read it, when you're out here. But there's still somebody up there that's pulling you back.
Amen.
There's still something in the world that's got a hold on you, trying to drag you back and trying to keep you away from the good things of God. And you're kind of torn. You're kind of... Should've. Well, I tell you what, that's a tough place to be, just to be honest with you.
Amen.
I mean, you're the preacher, you know, he's saying, "You know, go, go, go." And the world's saying, "Come back, come back, come back." And you know what we generally do? The preacher saying, "Go." It's safe up here. It's say, "Shoes are dry up here. I can live with this." You know what God wants you to do? Just stay in your knee deep for a little while. Nothing wrong with that, is it? Is that okay? Is that helping you a little bit?
Yeah.
All right, let's look a little bit further. I want you to notice down in verse 4 again. He says, "Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, brought me through the waters. The waters were to the what?
Loins."
Help me out now. Where would the loins be? Okay, get a little higher, aren't you? Okay, when you get love sick, where does it hurt you? Hard or your stomach? Your wife is sitting beside you. You better say both. Okay, now we're out here. We're past Brother Peacock now. Dr. Peacock. We're out here. The waters are... They got a tug on you now. You know that wave goes up and it rolls, it tugs. You see, the deeper you get, the more it tugs.
Yes.
It's got a pull to it, doesn't it?
Yes.
You see that? And it's a little harder. The world's calling, "Come back." It's a little more distant. It's a little more faint. It's not quite as... You see that? Here you are, here the world's saying, "Come back, come back." And God's saying, "Come on a little closer."
That's
come
right.
"Come on a little closer."
Amen.
Let's get it. And then when you try to get back, oh, you've got to put some effort into it now. When you're up to the loins, you know, trying to get them big old fat thighs like mine are through that water, they don't move so quick. But then you get back to the knee, then your ankle, then you jump on. Now, some of you have made it out that far. That's as far as you're going. My mother, we took her down one time. We always used to go to Florida down to St. Petersburg. My grandma and my granddad, they used to go down there and camp, you know, every winter. And my mother, we'd always go to Clearwater Beach And we go down there, you know, and my mother, she always dolled up her hair, you know, something about her hair, I don't know what it was, but it had to be perfect. And we'd get out and play in the water, you know, and she'd say, "Don't splash me." I'd like telling the kid, "Don't run through the mud puddle, you know, we're going through the mud puddle." And so I'd splash her, you know, "I'll kill you. Well, you're going to have to come out here and do it." She said, "Hey, come out." I say, "Oh, come on, Mom." And you know what? My mother would go so far, but you know what she never would do? She would never get her head wet. You know what? Some of you've got out so far, and you're willing. And you know, when you get out loin deep like this right here, and you're out there, you know, it's hard to get this part wet because it's cold. You think, man, it's... My mother just would never... There is some Christian that go so far and ain't going no further. Some of you sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, "Well, I read my Bible and I pray, but I'm not going to get real serious about it." I remember whenever I was going to a Southern Baptist church, I grew up in Southern Baptist church, you know, and I was going, they were going to ordain me as a deacon. I called my mother up and I said, "Hey, Mom," I said, I want you to know first, I said, "They're going to ordain me as a deacon in this church." I said, "You know, maybe you and Joe and Mama could come down for the ordination service." Oh, she said, "Son," she said, "that's wonderful." She said, "That's just great. I think that's just wonderful." You know, they all came down. Some of Karen's family came down, you know. And we had the ordination service. Oh, it was wonderful. You know, about a year later, I called my mom. I said, "Mom," I said, "I got some more news for you." I said, "I believe the Lord's calling me to preach." "Well, son, I mean, I believe in getting serious, but I'm not sure we want to get that serious. I mean, I think you ought to serve the Lord, but I'm just not sure if you want to go quite that far." And then, boy, when I called her and I said, "I'm going off to Bible school," she told me, she said, "Son, now look," she said, "I tell you what, there's a Bible school up here. It's called Fruitland Bible Institute." She said, "I will pay your way if you want to go." I said, "Well, I really want to go down there where I can learn the Bible." I said,
Amen.
"How about paying my way down there?"
Yeah.
There wasn't no offer like that. Some Christians will go so far, they ain't going to go no further. And you know what? I'm not condemning you. If you're a waiter, you're up to your knees, you're up to your loins. I'm not condemning you. I mean, maybe that's just a place in your growth that you are at this time. And there's no reason for me to try to get you to do something you should not be doing. Maybe you just haven't grown. And you know, there's a lot of Christians, they're older Christians, they look back and they look at people that are older in life and they think they should be further along in their Christianity. They ought to be helping me with this, and they ought to be doing that. They ought to be going here. They ought to be taking care of this. Maybe they just don't know. And it takes time to learn how to do some of those things. Maybe that's just where they are at that particular time. And you've got to be gentle with them and not drive them and not push them. You've got to be gentle with them and encourage them along instead of beat them to death.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about your pastor either. I'm talking about Christians that are sitting around, you know, looking and judging other people and comparing themselves among themselves, which is not wise. And they're trying to get other people to be at the same level of growth they are. And let me tell you something, everybody ain't at the same level of growth. You may have a child that has learned some memory verses. I'll tell you what, that is a great thing. Just because yours does, don't mean all the rest of them's going. And if they don't, it's okay. You know, I mean, try to encourage it, but don't beat them with the Bible.
Amen.
Man, I grew up in a home, they beat me with the Bible. You know, bless God. You know, God's going to throw you in hell when you're doing that stuff. I tell you what, I never have held my children captive with the Bible.
Amen.
Trying to make them do something and telling them they have to do this, that, and the other thing because it's you. God's going to get you.
Right.
I grew up with that mentality, and I had that all the way up until I got out of Bible school. One of the greatest things that Brother Lynch ever said to me, he said, look, God's not the high sheriff sitting up there on his throne waiting for you to mess up so he can bonk you on the head.
Right.
Amen.
Man, that helped me so much in my Christianity. It kind of released me, just to be honest with you. Kind of gave me a little liberty, you know.
Amen.
Grateful. After the loins, now let's go on. And you know, maybe we could call the loin deep Christians warriors. Maybe they spent some time in prayer. You know, sometimes you got to spend some time in prayer, and it's not just sweet hour of prayer. It's a constant prayer.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, you know, quit your job and go pray, you know, 20 hours a day or whatever it is. You know, I'm saying you have to remain in a constant state of prayer. Maybe you're just learning how to do that.
And you need to pray. You need to pray for your family, your home, the situations around you.
Amen.
Every once in a while, you got to throw up one of those Nehemiahs.
Yes. Yeah.
You never know what's going to come you. You know, maybe you're there. Maybe you're a prayer warrior. And let me just say, we need some prayer warriors.
Amen.
We need some Loises and some Eunices.
Yeah.
Some of those grandmothers, you get a prayer answered. And let me tell you something. Nowadays, I'm not being mean to you, but I don't see a whole lot of Loises and Eunices around.
Amen.
I mean, they may be out there, and they may be praying, and they may be taking down the list, you know. Oh, I'll pray for her. I'll tell you what, I've got a dear sweet sister in that church, and I tell you, I love her. She keeps getting older and older, and God still keeps leaving her around, and I am so thankful every time she gets to stick around. I told her, I said, sister, I said, you pray for us while we're gone. Oh, preacher, she said, I've been praying already.
Amen.
Good enough for me.
Right.
I know she's been praying already.
Amen.
Are you out there as far as you're going to go? Have you done as much as you're going to do? You've kind of leveled out. Kind of topped out. You're going to let somebody else handle it now. Well, I've done it for 20 years. I'm going to let somebody else do it now.
Well,
I've been taking trash out for 55 years. Okay, keep taking it. It's all right. Don't hurt them. Somebody got to take it. I've been cleaning the toilet for 102 years. Well, thank God for it.
Amen.
I've been cooking meals for these people. I'm telling you what, they don't appreciate it. I fix them something. They come in here. And then when they come in here and they start eating, they complain about it. They bellyache. They grumble. They gripe. They say, well, there wasn't enough dressing on it. They had too much butter on the bread. It was too done. And you just don't realize how long some of these people have worked to do some of that. And then they hear you say those things, you know.
Come on, brother.
Amen. You know what? Man, I'm telling you what. To do what you've done this week has taken real effort on the part of everybody.
Yeah. Amen.
And you're saying, well, thank God they can do it.
Come on, preach.
I think I've gone as far as I'm going. I tell you what, I heard somebody say this week, and it was a great statement. If you don't get nothing else out of this, get this. Growth requires change.
That's right. Amen.
I don't know who made it, but man, that was good.
Yeah.
I'll ponder that one for a while. I'll lay that one up in my heart, and I'll grab a hold of it one of these years, you know. I'll see if I can't use that someday.
Yes.
You see, it's not just you young men that have to change. And there's no sense in me standing up here and saying that it is, or you folks in the pews, it's not just you that has to change. We have to change as well.
Amen.
We've got to grow as well. We've got to do some things as well as you do. I've learned some things this week. Hope you have. Look at verse 5. It says, after he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in a river that could not be passed over. Let me tell you something. I believe this fellow done gone out a little bit further, don't you?
Yep.
I mean, he passed his loins. He's out here swimming now. And there's something else that's control. He's done lost control. See, when you get out there swimming, you're not in control no more. I mean, you're letting something else control you and move you around. You know, I've been around the ocean a little bit, not as much as I like. I really enjoy the ocean. I don't like to go to the ocean and not get in the ocean. I like to go out there and let the waves hit me on top of the head. You know, I like that. I wouldn't surf, you know. Have you ever seen a whale surf? I'm not going to start, you know. It's not going to happen. But I mean, I do like playing around the ocean, you know. I get out there, you know, and the waves break over top of my head, you know. I'll sit out there, you know, and I'll let them break over me and, you know, scoop me around, you know. I think it's kind of cool, you know. I'm like a 3-year-old toddler, you know, when I get in the ocean. But I like it when that wave kind of moves you around. And you can't feel the bottom. You don't know where you're at. But you feel comfortable. I like it whenever God begins to move you around and you can't feel the bottom and the world ain't got a hold of you anymore. And boy, to get back, you talk about taking some effort now, man. I'm telling you, it's going to take some real effort to get you back on shore now. And you know what? You're out further than you are getting back, and it takes longer to get back than it would just go on to God. And you just might as well stay there while you're there. And I tell you what, there ain't nothing up here that's better than being out there. I'm telling you, when I'm with the world, I mess up. But when I'm with God and God's people, I tell you, it's a
tell you, it's good. The world ain't got nothing on that.
That's right.
The world's singing stinks.
Amen.
No, I've waited all week to be able to say this. I hate Facebook. It fits not with my message. I just wanted to say it. I have decided that Facebook is my enemy, and I am the enemy of Facebook. I hate it. You know what I think Facebook's going to do? I think it's going to ruin some churches.
Yeah,
it's already ruined some marriages.
Right. Amen.
It's already messed up some relationships.
Right.
It's already put you in places you don't need to be.
Right.
Amen.
Now look, that's got nothing to do with the river. I can't say it. Oh, I waited someplace to insert that. I forced that one in there, you know. Brother TK, this is not homiletically correct. It ain't even hermeneutically right. But boy, I had to push that one in there. Amen. I tell you what, if you're going to be a worshiper, there's some things you're going to have to push aside. If you're going to begin to worship God like you ought to worship God, there's some things that world you ought not be messing with.
Amen.
Might I say that Facebook is one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. I feel like I've accomplished my goal right there this morning. Amen. I may never, ever be invited back here again because I said something about Facebook.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're safe, brothers.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, if Dr. Peacock said I'm safe, I'm good.
Yeah.
I know there's some fellas. I know why you preach like you do.
Amen.
There's some fellas in here packing.
Amen.
If they head toward the pulpit, somebody don't clean their clock.
Amen.
They Glock.
Amen.
Oh, this is getting fun now. I'm going to have too much fun.
Come on.
You know what? I want to be a worshiper of Jesus Christ. I want to be out in the deep end, way out there, to where the world can't call me back. You know, the further you get out there and the more that God's controlling you and spinning you around and turning you away from the world, that's what He does when you get way out there.
Amen.
So you can't hear the call of the world.
Amen.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Because, boy, I tell you what, you may not have grown up like I grew up.
Oh, my.
Now let me tell you something. That world's got a strong, strong hold on
it.
I went to eat one time with this fella. I really like, you know, he's a good guy. He's all right. He's halfway decent. I went to eat with him one time. You know, went to a Mexican restaurant. The mariachi band came out. And he said, brother, he said, if there's anything that would get me to go back to the world, it's that. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm mariachi man. What pull did that have on anybody? And I'm thinking, how stupid. And he said, yeah, but you don't understand. He said, in my home, when they started drinking and partying, he said they brought the mariachi man. And he said it was the trigger to remember all that stuff. Now, see, me, that wouldn't do nothing. I'd just sit there and laugh. As a matter of fact, it embarrasses me. They come play at my table, you know.
Yeah.
I told you, I don't like to be hugged. I got a bubble, too. I've got a 2-foot bubble. Please don't be mad at me because I said I don't like to hug. I feel so bad about that now. All of you come up to me and you say, oh, Brother Wheeler, I know you don't like to hug. I know. Just a little touch. Right, look, that's just me. If you'd grown up in the family I grew up in, you wouldn't like to hug either.
Yeah.
I grew up with the darlings. Hygiene was optional. It was bad, dude, let me tell you. I go to the family reunion, you know, and we'd walk in, and here was the darling stand back there. You know, I'm short in my family. I mean, I'm kind of short anyway. I'm not as short as Brother Josh, but I am kind of short. And here's the darlings up here, you know, 6'8". You walk by, and you say, hey, Uncle Gerald, and hey, Uncle Alvin, and hey, Uncle Russell, and they're standing there going. I mean, that is weird. My dad'd say, "Boy, did you have a good time?"
Hey, yeah, no.
I want to be a worshiper of God, not just a religious person. I want to be the kind of person that's willing to set things aside when they get in the way of worshiping God.
Amen.
I've got a TV. Gets in the way of worshiping God, I just do not have the thing.
Amen.
I mean, I got a computer because I work on it. You know, I ain't really got much of a choice. I have to grade papers, you know. I kind of got to have one, but if it gets in the way of worshiping God, I don't want it no more.
Amen.
I mean, I got a wife. I know some of you thinking, I'm going to say, if she gets in the way of worshiping God, I'm getting rid of her. No, that ain't what I'm saying. We're trying to worship God together. And if something gets in the way of our worshiping God together, we're going to try to set that thing aside. We're going to set each other. So listen, we made a decision a long time ago that we was going to love God and we was going to try to serve God no matter what. It didn't matter if we got position or not. It didn't matter to us. I'd just soon be down there and hearing your pastor preach. I promise, I am not kidding. As for me to be up here. Because I like hearing him preach.
Amen.
I mean, he can say more with no notes than I can after I've wrote and worried and sweated, wrote, worried, sweated, recorrected, done it again 3 times, and he gets up here and says, "Where else you know?" He didn't even have his Bible. Oh, he couldn't have been right. He didn't even have his Bible. I'm telling you, that was just off the cuff, there wasn't it? I mean, man, I like preaching.
Amen.
I want to be around people that love my Savior.
Amen.
I want to be around people that want to exalt my Savior.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to be around a bunch of people speaking over where we got too much mayonnaise on the bread.
Right.
Or there's rocks in the parking lot.
Right.
By the way, brother, my shoes are stuffed up because of the rocks. But my church, bless God, at least we got a paved parking lot. I mean, we got grass growing out the cracks that's this high, but we got the pavement, amen. I mean, in your parking lot, I've ruined my shoes. Could we please have an offering for my shoes? Let me tell you something. These are not little and they ain't cheap. They're big ones. My dad told me when I was a little kid, he said, "Son, I'll tell you right now, if God hadn't laid out so much for you to walk on, you'd have been a tall fella." I said, "Yeah, you're right." I realize that. You know what? At this point, you cease to support yourself. You're out there and God's got a hold of you. You have ceased to support yourself. It ain't all about you. It's all about Him. And if we get to the place in our churches to where it turns to be about us, then we done something wrong.
Amen.
That's a pretty good point, wasn't it?
Amen.
At this point, you're kind of giving over to the will of the river. River of life.
Right.
Dr. Rutten said so. Don't argue with me. He's right. That's the river of life right there.
Right.
You're giving over to the will of the river. And God will take you where He wants to put you and place you where He wants you to be when He wants you to be.
Amen.
And if you start forcing a bunch of stuff, it's not going to work.
Amen.
I just ask you one question. I'm about done. Are you thirsty? I remember one time I was picking up hay, and if I never in my entire life, as long as I live, see another hay bale, that's good enough for me. I hope to God when we get to heaven, there ain't no hay up there. My uncle called me up one time. He said, "You want to help me pick up some hay?" And I said, "Sure. How much you paying?" "Buck an hour." I was 10 years old. Okay. Went out there. He drove the truck. I picked up the hay, put it in the back of the truck, stacked it, took it to the barn. He drove the truck. I stacked it in the barn by myself while he sat in the truck and chewed his packer. I hate hay. He took me out one time and he pawned me off this other fella. And I said, "How much am I making now?" He said, "You're making $3.25 an hour." I went, "That's $2.25 an hour raise. I'll do this." So I went and helped this other fella. What I didn't know at the time, when he pawned me off, he was giving $4.25 an hour, but my uncle was keeping $1 an hour. So I went out there and helped him out. You know, we had a long trailer. You know, it's about a 40-foot trailer. Had it behind the tractor, you know. We was going through the fields, you know, and we had about, you know, we probably had 300 bales of hay on that tractor, on that trailer. And so the man, he said, "Hey, listen," he said, "you stand up on the tongue of that trailer," and he said, "I'm going to throw you the rope." And he said, "When I do," he said, "grab a hold of it, and we'll pull these hay bales down so we go down the road, they won't fall off." So he threw it. He said, "Here it comes!" And so I was looking, and I twisted like this on the tongue of that trailer. And when I did, my knee went like this. And here we are out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and I rolled around on the ground, and man, I was agonized in.
Amen.
And he come right up here, he said, "Oh, son," he said, "I'm about 18 years old." He said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Man, and all that old dust and that hay is flowing around, you know." I said, "Oh, I can't breathe." He said, "What do you need?" I said, "I need some water. Give me some water. Give me some water." He said, "Are you not hurting?" I said, "I'm dying, but I need some water."
Amen.
And what, there's a lot of you sitting here this morning, you don't even know you're thirsty and you need a good drink.
Amen.
You need to drink out of that book right there.
Amen.
A few minutes, we're going to put it back in our holster. We're going to put it aside for a little while for the next meeting. We're not going to open it up. A lot of you won't. What's the need to do is go home this afternoon and get that thing out and get you a drink.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Oh, there's some water in there, brother. It'll soothe your soul.
Amen.
It's
good, sir.
Y'all alone in the desert, you can't do anything, you know, and you're hurting, you're depressed, you're discouraged, you don't know which way to go. I'll tell you, that has been my only companion at times, me and my wife and that King James Bible.
Amen.
I remember being out in Kansas, you know, and I don't want to say anything that would offend anybody, but, I mean, we were out there for a while, you know, it's kind of a hard place and for me because I'm from the mountains and they don't have mountains. And so we were out there, you know, and I'd get depressed and I'd come home from work and I'd go in my study and I'd sit down and all I had was in my Bible. I didn't have anything else. I didn't have a friend like I've got Dr. Walker now. Somebody like Brother Peacock, Dr. Peacock, I'd call up, you know, and talk to him and say, "Brother, I'm hurting. I have nobody." But boy, I tell you what, I could drink out of that. You know, truthfully, this ain't my Bible. I got my Bible at the house. It's wore out. I can't preach that anymore because my dog eat it. He got saved, you know, when I used the word of God. I can take you to places in that Bible where I've got tear stains. And I'm not just saying that to make you think I'm something special. There ain't nothing special about me at all. But I can take you to places where God dealt with me about things and He'd show me things and teach me things. I read my Bible on a stack of tires in a welding shop. I'd read 10 chapters a day in that welding shop. That's where I learned my Bible. And I pray and I say, "God, help me be a good testimony to these men. Because they're rough, God. They need Jesus." Love about three of those boys, the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
My sister-in-law, I want to close with this, if you'd allow me. My sister-in-law, one time, it's not been too long ago, her husband had come home and he's got a Harley and I'd love to have one. If you don't give me one, I'll drive it to the house. I've got Harley glasses. It says Harley Davidson. You say you should be more spiritual and have some scripture verse there. Well, I kind of like a Harley, and that's as close as I'll ever get to one. Right? He came home from a trip, you know, and told his wife, said, "How about if we go riding this afternoon?" And she said, I really don't want to. So my wife, she said, "You know, I got all that out of my system when I was 20. And she said, "No, I just really didn't want to go." But she said, "He wanted to, so I decided I'd go with him." So she said, before she left, she said, "I started praying." She said, "I prayed and said, 'Lord, it's been a long time since you've shown me anything. Would you show me what pleases you?'"
Amen.
And she said that she was thinking about, you know, animals, you know, eagles or deer or, you know, whatever. Said she going up through there and said she saw a deer on top of her. She said, "God, is that what pleases you?" They kept going up the mountain, you know, and they got closer on to the top, you know, saw some other animals. "Oh, God, is that..." And then she said she saw a rainbow over here, you know, or something. I'm embellishing now. I'm making this my story. And she said she saw that rainbow and said, "God, is that what pleases you?" Said they got on up the top, you know, and they got off the motorcycle and took their helmets off. And she said, all of a sudden, she said there was this little car. She said, "It looks like it's going to fall apart." He'd do about 90 miles an hour. Said he comes sliding in that parking lot, you know, spinning around. And, I mean, just dirt peeling, you know. And he comes to a screeching halt. And said this little old skinny 5-foot, 90-year-old man hops out of the car. And he comes running over there on one of the rocks and gets up on that rock. And he said, Glory to God, I can almost feel heaven from here.
Said he hops back in the car, you know, off he goes. She said, I believe I know what pleases you.
Amen, amen.
You know what, some of you ain't willing to go quite that far.
Right.
But boy, you sure need a drink.